Hey, welcome in, everybody. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times-Union. Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on Mondays, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. And, Ryan, we've got a new view on the world, and they've got a view on us. How do you feel about this?
We got ourselves a little window.
We have a big window here right now.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be, you know, this is, you know, we're in a main thoroughfare of the building.
Yeah, a lot of foot traffic outside the studio.
Well, you know, give the wave.
Right, there's going to be a lot of gawking going on.
And a little bit of the, come on in.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, come in. No, I can't talk right now. I point to the headset a lot. See this?
Right.
I'm working.
We've already had Coach Gus walk by and
he gives
say
the peace sign through the visa.
With the new window. I've said hey to Dan Edwards through the window this morning as well. So, yeah, it's a busy little hallway here.
Well, plus, it gives a little bit of life to the...
It
opens it up a little bit.
The Jaguars have been a franchise, Tony, since the mid-90s, right? It took Jaguars today to come in here in less than 2 months. We got a window.
That's right.
I said, oh, now we finally got something in there worth looking at in addition to listening to.
I hope you're listening, Big Bo.
I actually thought the window was going to go in this wall over here, which would have given us a view of Brian Sexton and J.P. Shadrick toiling away in their joint office space to our immediate right, or at least my immediate right, depending on which direction you're facing. Happy Monday to everybody. Happy belated Father's Day to all you dads out there. And all the folks who got a chance to celebrate with your dads and your family over the course of the weekend. Fat Tony's fired up about Team USA.
I am.
That is the big football news going on, that kind of football. Hey, I'll watch it. Will you watch the World Cup, O'Halloran?
Yeah, I have been regular. I like having it on because of the atmosphere and stuff. Plus, the U.S. Open was completely unwatchable.
Oh, U.S. Open was brutal.
Terrible.
We said, you know, the kind of Friday afternoon we're saying, man, he'd go out and shoot four over each of the next 2 days. It's exactly what Martin Keimer could have done. Mm-hmm. But hell of a year he's having.
Yeah, and, you know, so I had a lot of soccer on. And, you know, USA is tonight. I mean, the main event is Germany-Portugal today.
Is that right?
But... That's the one I lost. That's the one that I lost sleep over.
Is that right? You must be a real soccer fan then. I'm just a United States supporter.
From a U.S. perspective, is for the diehard fan, what gives them confidence? Because they've been in this position before and haven't delivered. I mean, what happens if they go down 1-0?
You probably know? Nothing gives them confidence. But yeah. If you go out there today, I mean, I don't think Ghana's unbeatable. You go out there and beat them 2-1, let's say, and you're alive for a few more. When's the next time they play, Tony? For like 4 days from now? Okay, Saturday?
Yeah.
Sunday. All right. Oh, Warren quickly corrected you with Sunday. So basically, you can live a week feeling good about yourself if you go out there or if you have a good draw, so to speak. Like if you get down 1-0. All right. I've broken it down to the extent of my soccer knowledge. I'll coach up some 9-year-olds, O'Halloran. But when it comes to the finer points of international play, it's somewhat lost on me. Final week, big week for the Jags. I mean, I assume you want to leave summer on a positive note, right? You're going to break for a while now. Mandatory minicamp starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know the word mandatory really doesn't need to be. An
doesn't
issue.
Matter.
Hasn't,
in this case.
Hasn't been an issue for this
right.
case, but you know they bring him in at 4:00 today, and it's a set schedule for you know league rules, but. You're absolutely right. I mean, they felt they've got a lot of stuff done since they got here April 21st, and they've been on the field for the last month or so. So, you know, stay healthy. Don't expect to see a lot of those receivers back on the field this week either. And, you know, one thing that I asked Gus on Thursday was, how will these practices differ than an OTA? And one thing he said is that it'll be a lot more evenly distributed between the first, the second, and the third team, whereas during these OTAs out here, it's been first and second team only.
Pretty much, yeah.
And third is at the end of practice. So for fans coming out, you're going to see everybody on the field.
And you can come out tomorrow, each of the next 2 days, 1:10 to 3:30, mm-hmm. the approximate schedule. That's 1:10 is the start time. So they are open to the public each of the next couple of days. And every time they open it up, I think they've surprised with how many people have come through the turnstiles, depending, you know, Monday or a Thursday morning last time out. This time on a Tuesday afternoon, I would expect the turnout probably somewhere in the same ballpark that we saw for that that Friday rookie minicamp and that Thursday open practice.
Yeah, probably that Thursday. I mean, was it like...
In the ballpark of 2,000.
Yeah, maybe, you know, different part of the day. I don't get having any afternoon. I don't get that. But if you're an autograph person, this is the place to come because these guys sign for you. And I'm, you know, there's not going to be a ton of people here. So, but it, that would, you know, if you want to come out and see them and, you know, this would be your last chance before camp opens. And, you know, the first, because the first night in pads isn't going to be until Bartram Trail on 28th.
Yeah, it's a long way off from this point in time. They also can conduct, they can do two-a-day practices, but one of them has to be a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what, in terms of how they're going to schedule those?
I assume they'll do the same last year where he they would go like 8:55 to 10:45 practice. And then they would have a walkthrough in the 4:30 to 5:30 range. They didn't have any night practices last year.
Oh, you're talking about for training camp.
Yeah.
I'm talking about for the next couple of days.
Because
they can do a couple of 2 days as long as the second one is a walkthrough.
Well, a walkthrough would probably be in the morning.
Okay.
Which is what they've been doing somewhat.
Walkthrough, kind of go through what you're going to do through the mm-hmm. nine periods of practice mm-hmm. And go from there. So if you want to come out next couple of days, your last opportunity, we'll see the Jags on the field practicing for the next 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Thursday is closed to the public. Today, we'll get into some guys that maybe not this week so much, but with the remainder of this week plus training camp, guys that Ryan thinks will be fighting for roster spots for this football team. We'll also get into coaching a little bit today. Chuck Knoll passing away over the weekend, and I think universally regarded as probably, I think it's fair to say, easily one of the top 10 coaches of all time. Where exactly he falls on the all-time hierarchy, a little bit more difficult to discern.
Does he make Mount Rushmore?
He could. I mean, he's got it. It's not crazy to think he's in the conversation. Guys won 4 Super Bowls. Is it 4 for him, right? Yeah. Just the 4 in the 70s.
4 for 4.
And then Cowher got the next one, yeah. I guess. And then,
and
of course,
Tomlin's
got a couple as well. Tomlin doesn't get probably enough mention when you talk about the best coaches today. But, yeah, I mean, I think you could certainly make an argument that Knoll is probably, you know, in the ballpark of the Mount Rushmore mm-hmm. all time.
I'm trying to think. Knoll. I put Walsh up there.
Obviously Lombardi, you know, I think, you know, Hallis.
Paul Brown.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, historically, historians would have to weigh in on that. I mean, you look at the modern day guys, like you said, Walsh, Belichick, I think has to get consideration. He's won 3 Super Bowls, been to 5. And which Miami Heat say, wow, that's a terrific record, by the way. 3 out of 5, we would take that in a heartbeat. So we'll get into that a little bit today. As a matter of fact, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day is this. In light of Chuck Knoll passing, we're thinking about coaches. If you did not have Gus Bradley to coach your Jacksonville Jaguars, which current coach would you like to lead the Jacksonville Jaguars? It's that simple. Which current one? Not an all-timer. We're not bringing Bill Walsh or Eric Coryell to Jacksonville. We're looking at the current crop of coaches out there. If you couldn't have the guy you currently have, who would be at the top of your wish list? And I would think a certain name would be a frequent answer, but so far we've gotten a lot of responses and a lot of variety have come in. You can tweet us today at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren, who, if she's recuperated at some point throughout the show, may give us a recap of what went down. Country Fest.
I think I just saw her wandering through the parking lot.
Were you at Country Fest this
no,
weekend?
This morning. I think she just got to the station.
Oh, she may have. Based on a conversation we had earlier.
Picking up cans.
That's probably not too far off the mark. They did a great job cleaning it up, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All I saw was one stray watermelon rind in the parking lot. And for all I know, Tony threw that in on the ground on his way when he got out of the car this morning.
Nope.
He beat me to work. Wasn't you?
Wasn't me.
All right. For all I know now, maybe it was Fortunato as far as that goes. You want to get in today? 641-1010 is the phone number. We're going to talk about minicamp. What are you looking for out of these final 3 days? If you're coming out here as a fan for the next couple of days, what are you hoping to see the most? Is it Blake Bortles, your first-round draft pick, shine? Is it getting some of these injured wide receivers back on the field? We'll also talk with Ryan today about his thoughts as to how long it'll be before the entire rookie class is under contract. A lot of those contracts already done around the National Football League. Jaguars today just getting started. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank Field. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. O'Halloran, you want to jump in?
We're an American band.
Yeah.
I have no idea who sang it.
Oh, no, I just thought you wanted to jump in and steal the theme today.
Well,
pretty safe
Stars
to say.
And Stripes.
There you go. I thought we
Grand
might
Funk
get the,
Railroad.
The Ghanaian
well done.
National Anthem. But we didn't get that. Yeah. I think she's going the other way.
Don't hold your breath.
Day. Lauren Brooks, who, what time did you roll in last night from Country Fest?
Oh, about 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, oh, that's good. That's actually not too bad. What time did it end?
About midnight.
Was it good?
Oh, it was fantastic.
How was Luke Bryan last night?
Oh, he was so good.
Oh, he's so handsome, too, isn't he?
I don't care about that. I just care about the show.
he's got a lot of good songs.
He does. He? Oh, everyone was fantastic. Miranda Lambert, if y'all have never seen her live, she is just a superstar.
Is she?
She is. Oh, she's fantastic.
So she is talented.
Oh, she really is extremely talented.
Because I think, all right.
What? What are you thinking?
I just think she's overrated in the looks department. But
not
that it matters. I mean, she's. I'm glad to hear she's talented. She's.
I don't hear many people talking about the way she looks.
Oh, okay, I just thought the whole her and Blake being the it country couple kind of thing. I don't know.
The clientele at the stadium last night, is that it required you to look both ways at a one way.
I'm not going to talk about the people watching.
I don't know. I'm not. I'm trying
coming,
to
coming from the sticks. You know, not a lot of one ways. Thank you, Joe Fortunato. He got it.
Fortunato knows. I wasn't sure what the hell
or
you were talking about.
Me neither.
Confederate flags.
I don't have any problem with country music. I just don't know anything about it. If you want to go like early '90s country,
Brooks and Dunn.
Sure.
Love Brooks and Dunn.
I love them too. They're good.
I mean, I have to. My last name is Brooks.
Oh, that's right.
Well, Howard's kind of giddy about this today.
Well, he is.
Tony's soccer and Ryan's country music.
Well, I just, I was getting ready to talk about Ace Sanders.
Trust me, every time you come in for the foreseeable future, be ready to talk.
Are you sure you
want to
do that with
Sanders.
The window in there now?
The reports of momentum has picked up. You see, was DeRocco? Did you see him the other day? Somebody asked him in his mailbag, Well, Ace Sanders, and he said something to the effect of, I know it's picked up some steam or something like this, the subject matter. I'm thinking, yes, one guy, steam maker, Ryan O'Halloran.
It just shows you how, like, you know, a bold statement in,
I loved it.
In a market where there really aren't a lot.
Yes. What are you saying?
Picks up steam.
What are you saying? I'm gonna say Ghana 2-0 today. That's my bold.
Yes.
For the day. You did a blog posting on guys, on roster veterans that are no locks for the roster, obviously. Guys that need to continue to perform well in order to earn a roster spot this year. Ace Sanders was not among those guys, by the way.
I figured I'd give him the weekend off.
Yeah, you've already stated your case about him. You no need to beat the dead horse goes.
Let's hit on it real quick. Is I don't think you'd find a lot of people who would disagree with the fact that he's amongst all those guys on the bubble. I mean, I wasn't coming out and saying this guy's going to absolutely get cut. I'd be a little surprised, but I think he needs to have a good camp and be healthy and show a pulse on punt returns.
All right, I think that's fair. I
mean, he can't just show up and make the team.
No, I think that's fair. I put it this way again, without belaboring Ace Sanders here. I think he has some goodwill built up with the extent that they were able to use him offensively last year. I think it was a pleasant surprise to them. And even if it is punt returns that it is going to be his main calling card this year, I don't know if what do you determine that on? Do you determine that on a handful of punt returns in the preseason? Is that what you base it on? I mean, if he has a 10-yard average return on 8 preseason punt returns, is that good enough? You know, I mean, what is the thing that's going to determine whether or not he's doing well in that department?
Well, that's going to go a long way because you can't simulate that in practice. You know?
Exactly.
And I don't think his best way to make this team is by returning punts. I mean, everybody says, well, he had 50 catches. Well, he had no receivers left. He played 600 snaps. You know, yeah, he did some decent things, but if I'm him, I concentrate on my preseason is going to be all about creating a spark on punt returns, going north-south. That's how you make the team.
Guys, you did list on the roster bubble, including another receiver, Mike Brown, who, again, you know, I think you're right when you say they trust him, that he knows the offense, he's a good worker, he knows his responsibilities, he's fairly reliable. You agree with that or don't agree with
that? Yeah. I mean, that sort of like keeps the door cracked. I mean, the fact that you know what you're doing. You know, he just gets in a situation where you know, let's just, you know, the top three guys probably locked in. Okay, so if they keep six, that means nine guys or 10 guys for three spots. You know, what does, you know, what's the difference for Mike in terms of cracking that 53? Because you look at, you know, Shorts, Lee and Robinson are locks. Then you throw, you know, Brown, Sanders, Taylor, Copeland, Hearns, Doss. I think Doss is number four. So, you know, Mike's thing is going to be, okay, does he, you know, the numbers crunch is, okay, how many rookies do they feel comfortable keeping after the first two? Do they want to keep Copeland and Hearns? Do they want to keep one or the other? So that's where his...
Wouldn't you think it'd be surprising to have four rookies on the 53-man roster?
I would.
At one position.
I mean, I guess. But, I mean, if they... You know, because one of those guys is going to be inactive. Because they usually keep five up on game day. You know, if they feel... I mean, from their perspective is, I think they're still all about upside, is that, okay, if they keep, for example, if they keep an Allen Hurns over a Mike Brown, it's probably because they feel he'll be better for them in 2015.
Right.
You know, this time next year, you're probably going with, okay, who's the guy that can help you win this week instead of down the road?
Right. All right. So Mike Brown, definitely another guy you're keeping an eye on this week. Some other, Ricky Stanzi, which I don't think is any surprise. In that more... having to do with Blake Bortles than it is with Ricky Stanzi at this point in time, if you feel comfortable with Blake as your direct backup?
Yeah, that's where I don't know if it's an unpopular opinion, but if they go into the season and Blake Bortles isn't number two, I see a problem. Is if they don't, you know, granted they want him to watch whatever, but if he's not number two, then I think there's an issue that they're should be concerned about, because they wouldn't trust them to put him in for 5-6 snaps if Haney gets banged up. For that reason...
Do you think you don't want him number two because you don't want him in for 5 or 6 snaps, or you don't want him number two because if Haney gets hurt in the first half of week one, he's going to be out for 2 months, then all of a sudden you're the starting quarterback in week two for the, you know, first 2 months of the season when you really didn't want that to happen?
Well... bleep happens.
I get it, but I mean, if
that's the
I
case,
mean, you're trying
to
manage bleep, right?
Yeah, if they really felt that way, why didn't they bring in a third guy who's played in this league? If you want that experienced guy, because if you're like, I mean, do you really think Bortles and Stanzi, I mean, you would really put Ricky Stanzi in the game over Blake Bortles?
I'm saying that Ricky Stanzi is more of a placeholder, that if you truly want to take the attitude that we don't want to play Blake Bortles until we feel he is ready to play. And when he plays, he'll essentially be the starting quarterback when he plays. You know what I mean? I mean, there's no point in if you feel comfortable enough with Blake Bortles that if Chad Henne were to go down for the first 2 months or of the season that you could play him, why wouldn't you be playing Blake Bortles anyway?
I'd play him right now. But I think
clearly that's not the plan that they want to put into place, at least from what they've said.
Well, if for the first game of the season and they announce the inactives and Blake Bortles is inactive, that's a red flag, period. That's the way I feel, because you look at the snaps he's getting during these practice sessions, the snaps he's going to get during camp. You don't give a guy that many snaps and then say you're number three.
All right, so then basically, and I'm not, look, I think that the argument for keeping Stanzi is that, though, that you don't want Blake to be in there. To me, then, maybe it will come around to people feeling closer to the other side that Blake should be the starting quarterback from the get-go. Because if you're that next guy in line, true stuff happens. And, you know, Chad Henne's been a reasonably healthy quarterback throughout his career.
That's another thing. He has, you know, with the exception of the shoulder, I mean, he's taken some big hits the last 2 years here.
Right.
And hasn't missed a snap when he's been the starter.
Right. So, you know, you've got that. But don't you think, though, that that's what it comes down to? It's not so much that Ricky Stanzi's going to wow them. It's a case of whether they want Bortles to be that one snap away from being the starting quarterback.
I would be stunned if that's the case. If they start the season and then they make an announcement, if Henne loses his helmet, has to sit out of play, Ricky Stanzi's our guy.
You'd be stunned if then Ricky Stanzi won't make the team.
Well, you keep they kept three last year.
Right, but why would you keep? I guess if you feel Ricky Stanzi is a better developmental prospect, to me, Ricky Stanzi is the only reason you keep Ricky Stanzi is to have a bridge so you don't have to throw Bortles in there. You have a guy who's been in the league, whether he's played in the league or not. He's been around. He's going to be, you know, rather than like having another rookie like Steven Morris in there, I would think you'd be much more inclined to go Henny, Bortles, Morris if you're going to keep three, if it's about who you think has, as you said, the biggest upside down the line.
Well, I would keep Stanzi as number three in case of the hell freezes over scenario, or if two guys go down in one game. Then who do you want, Stanzi or Steven Morris?
Okay. So the odds of two guys going down in one game, though. I mean, by the time you get down to your third guy, you know what I mean? I mean, I think they did a study a few years back, and that's when teams really started to go towards keeping two quarterbacks, or a lot of teams went towards keeping two quarterbacks. Because everybody used to keep three.
I can't believe I'm getting resistance on this one.
What is the resistance you think you're getting?
There's a problem Bortles being one snap away.
I'm necessarily resisting that. I'm saying, though...
Are you being practical?
I'm saying, look, if Bortles is ready to play, you play him, right? You don't say, well, he's ready to play, now he's ready to be the backup. Either he's ready to play, in which case you play him, or he's not ready to play, which you insulate yourself from having to play him as much as possible because you don't want to throw him in there before he's ready to go. Does that seem like resistance?
I don't know.
I think you do.
My opinion is stated all the way that he should be the guy right now, but since that's not going to happen, I just feel like...
You don't think there's any value to sitting a quarterback if you feel like he's got the raw material to do it. Like Kaepernick sat for a year and a half. Now, maybe he could have done it right away, but we don't know. And he's turned out just fine. It's not the same for everybody, but... Is there no value to sitting a guy and bringing him along and saying he's got the raw material, we just have to refine it? Right now he's not ready to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League, but we feel if we stick to this plan, he's going to be a much better than if we threw him into the fire too early.
I mean, could be, but my theory on that is they're not going to make playoffs this year anyways. So why not... Get the year out of the way where if you go into 2015, you have a third draft, a bunch of cap money, and you go into 2015 saying, hey, maybe you can sneak into the wild card race. But instead, whenever he does play, don't you think they're going to take a step back record-wise?
Well, don't you think, though, that if you feel that way, that they're not going to make the playoffs this year? That there's going to be an opportunity at some point this season? I mean, there's a difference between... Kaepernick came in the middle of the season. They didn't take a step back record-wise, right? And I'm just using him as the example because he's a most recent one, right? You had a veteran in front of him who's actually performing very well. He gets hurt for 1 week, and they're looking for that opportunity. They get him in there. Had they played him right away, who knows? You know, maybe he gets his confidence shattered or what have you. I think there is something to, you know, will he take a step? I think you can be more prepared, depending on the guy, by having a more methodical plan in place. I'm not saying it'll work for Blake, but I mean it has worked for other guys in the National Football League. It's not always throw the guy into the fire and he's going to be best served a year from now.
What like people always tell, you know, say to me, well, they've been scarred by the Blaine Gabbert thing. Well, they weren't here. I mean, you don't buy that part, do you?
Oh, I don't. They shouldn't be scarred by anything in that regard. But I think there is. It's not. That's more. You look around the National Football League, you look at Blaine Gabbert, you look at David Carr, you can look at other guys that maybe you felt got thrown in, weren't protected enough, and that's part of the equation too, right? It's not just is Blake Bortles ready, although that is the primary thing. Don't you want to make sure that offensive line retooled is going to be able to protect him, that these young receivers are going to have their legs under them? Isn't there something to some of that?
Probably. I mean... Last year's line would have been an issue.
Right.
But this guy is a little bit more mobile than, you know, I mean, just run by the stuff they ran at rookie camp, that, you know, they would change the sit to get him on the move a little bit. But, go ahead.
No, you just, I'm asking your opinion.
I'm talking in circles here. So, I'll go back to what I said originally is, If the first depth chart comes out and number five's not listed second, then the question is, explain it.
Was he worth the third pick in the draft?
Well, what didn't you see in camp to make him number three? You know, what is the basis of this decision? Because right now he's being treated as clearly the number two quarterback.
Sure he is.
So
all right. So from that standpoint, if you're just taking it back to the original point of Ricky Stanzi, then I don't think I put it this way. I don't think you keep Ricky Stanzi as the third quarterback because you're afraid your first two guys get hurt. Because I think statistically, the first two guys getting hurt in the same game almost never happens.
Well, then if they're gonna, I mean, they like last year they kept three the whole year. I mean, granted one was banged up for the first half of the year. And they kept a practice squad guy who they ended up working at receiver.
Right, but they didn't have a quarterback of the future. You know what I mean? I mean, they...
Seven car.
What? Nah, come on. You know what I mean. I mean, they don't have a quarterback of the future. They're trying out a whole lot of different things. They're seeing if somebody can develop along the way. And until they find that guy and they can start to pare down where they're going, they wanted to cast the widest net as possible. You buy or not?
Sure. It just seems it'd be interesting to see if you keep two quarterbacks plus a practice squad guy, so it's a veteran and two rookies, how comfortable is that? You know, maybe you keep that third guy just so he can be available in practice. You know, so
maybe I don't know. I think to me, if you're at the point where you feel like if Chad Henne gets hurt, Blake Bortles is going to be in there. I don't think it's incumbent upon you to keep a veteran guy just to have him the roster.
I would assign the guy who has least played some snaps in this league to go with Henne and Bortles. Yeah, because I think the more minds in that room who have played the position, the better for the younger guy.
All right, 641-1010 if you want to weigh in on that or anything else. We'll look at more of guys Ryan thinks are not necessarily on the roster bubble, but maybe that's a fair way to characterize it, just guys that need to make sure they have a strong rest of their summer mini camp, training camp, to make sure they've got a spot on the 53-man roster. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. Jaguars Today live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars Today brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold every Monday, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. We're talking revolvers, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, you name it, Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, and that is a guarantee. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns, the number 4, JAX, guns4jax.com online, or located at 1233 South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777, 693-0777 for more information on Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. Here, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony with you live at Everbank Field. Jaguars today, as tomorrow, Jags on the practice field for the first day of their mandatory minicamp. Open to the public at 1:10 is when practice gets underway. And if the last few open to the public days are any indication, you probably want to get out here early if you don't want to be at the end of a considerable line waiting to get in, at least at the beginning of practice. We'll get to more of the guys that Ryan thinks need to fight for their roster spot. They all need to fight for the roster spot, Ryan, because it's all about competition and blah, 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 blah. That's what they all say, right?
Well, they all have a cap number, too.
They do all have a cap number, and that's a factor as well in a lot of this stuff. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Let's go to Memphis Mac, our first call of the week here on 1010XL. What's up, Mac? How are you?
Doing good, Mike. Listen here, I kind of see y'all's conundrum there. I mean, I see kind of a little, like, pausing and frustration on the air between y'all, and I think the whole city feels that way. Golly, something catastrophic happens, Ryan. You want that veteran on the squad, but is Ricky Stanzi a real veteran? I mean, aren't there guys like Vince Young and people out there waiting for opportunities like that? I'll take your comments off the air.
Well, thanks for the call. You bring up a good part of the point where if they were truly, truly committed to saying, hey, he's not going to play this year, then I thought they would have brought in a number two guy who at least has some experience, bring him in on a one-year deal, saying, hey, you're going to be our number two for at least the start of the season. If something happens to Henne, you're our guy. And most of these guys say, all right, I'll take the $850, which would be guaranteed. They haven't done that, so, I mean, granted, Stanzi doesn't have any experience, but maybe they feel he's a better option in terms of his knowledge of the system than some of the veterans out there. And, you know, Vince Young wouldn't be one of those guys anyways.
I don't think he would either, but I think that we're getting caught up a little. I don't know if it's semantics or what, but when you say if they were truly committed to him not playing this year, I don't think they're truly committed to that. I think they're committed to being as patient as they need to be, whatever that is, if that is the entirety of the year, and I think they put it out there that strongly, so if it does come to pass, then people aren't saying, well, wait a minute, we thought we'd see him at some point. I mean, they've said from day one, this is Chad Henne's team this year. Now, whether that will remain true through 16 games, we'll find out, but I think they're committed to when he's ready to go, that's when he's going to be on the football field. It's not necessarily a year, a half a year, a year and a half.
I think the Monday of the before the Miami game of Week 8, when they're 2-5, they're gonna say he's ready.
And oh, they may.
And that's, you know, it's one of those things. It's Chad Henne's team until it isn't. Yeah, you know, which is a real bogus statement, but it's all. I think it all depends on how the first half of the season goes.
I think that's a factor in it, but do you think that if they really feel, and for whatever reason, you can say it's a red flag or not, but do you really think they're going to put Blake Bortles in the position where they feel like he's not ready to handle it from whatever aspect?
Maybe not at midseason, but if you get back for those last six games, so let's say they come back from London, have the bye week 11. Let's say they're 3-7. That is the perfect time. I don't care if he's not totally up to speed, because you'll never know. Use those last six games to get a head start on next year. That's when you put him in. If you want to remain committed to, committed to Chad Henne through the last six games of a season that could end up 4-12, 5-11, maybe 6-10, then I just don't know what you're gaining by doing that for that quarterback, his future in 2015.
And I tend to agree with you. The later you get into the season, that if your guy isn't ready. You know, if you've had a chance for your offensive line to play together, these young receivers, all that stuff, to develop a little bit, to get some game experience, if that guy isn't ready to at least nurse you through the last month and a half of the season, that's probably an issue. But the same token, I mean, Chad Henne, let's say he's terrible, his quarterback rating's in the 30s, and they go 0-4. I mean, that would be as much a cry to change quarterbacks out of necessity. Then, you know, you'd find that around the league. If you got a guy like that, let's say Ryan Fitzpatrick, an equally unentrenched guy, really, mm-hmm. in Houston.
The same guy.
So, right, same guy. Started something like that, then there'd be a greater clamoring for the next guy to come in. Peyton Manning starts 0-4. I mean, you're committed mm-hmm. to Peyton Manning. It's a different story. But I guess my point being, later in the season, I could see that. Early, I just don't think, unless he's ready to go, you could be at a point where you feel like you need to bench a guy, and they're not going to do it unless Bortles is ready to handle what is coming his way. Or at least they think he is. And you're right. You can never know for sure until you put him in there. But you've got to make those evaluations. You've got to make those judgments.
Well, in one reason, my second pick would be week 11 for those last six games, because you look at the roster last year, the last couple of years, is when they got to those last one or two or three regular season games, guys were running on fumes, 15 guys were on IR. So how fair is it, Tim, if in week 15 you say, hey, the last two games of yours, you know, who knows who's going to be playing with, you know, up front, a receiver,
right,
et cetera. So, you know, get them some games, week 8's a good choice for me. Week 11's a good choice, or week 12, I think it would be 12, 13, you know, whatever. So, you know, there's a couple options there. But you raise an interesting point of the first month of the season. It's a tough schedule. Let's say they start 0-4 and they can't move the ball. Gus, one of Gus's worries is conviction. It's where it's going to be tested, because you're going to stick with Henne, or you go Henne to Bortles. I don't see them going Henne to Stanzi.
And this wasn't the exact same circumstance last year. Clearly, they hadn't just drafted a potential franchise quarterback. But you got to believe, I mean, for a coach that went 0-8 and his message, as far as we could tell, never change to the players, I got to believe he's a guy that can stand by. You know, he's not going to wilt under the first sign of pressure. They had a pretty dismal first half of the season last year. And granted, it was their first year. They had you always get a bit of a honeymoon period and all that. The expectations are going to be slightly higher for this season, you would hope, going in. But I would think at 0-8, having lost every game by double figures and being considered maybe the one of the worst teams in NFL history to that point, I mean, yes, it was followed by some wins, and maybe had that dragged on, we would have—I don't know what would have manifested. But I believe that, you know, they've got the guys that feel like they've got the plan, and they're going to go out doing it their way, right or wrong.
Yeah, I mean, the expectation level has changed, but it's not where they're cracking skulls at 0-3.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they are going to remain somewhat patient.
Provided that they're competitive.
Yes, and that's where, you know, that's why, you know, they chose that route of even before the draft where they added these guys, you felt they would be able to stop people better on defense. You know, so, okay, let's go into the season. Offense, you still got some moving parts up front, a receiver, guys who are learning. You know, the thing is, will they be able to stay in some games instead of, like, you know, one person in this building gave me the example of, instead of losing 27-3 to San Diego, are they going to lose 27-21?
Right.
You know, so that's
which you can take a lot easier as a fan. I mean, you can take, and ultimately you want W's, but that's progress.
Be interesting.
Yeah. Be competitive.
Functional on
offense. Keep the fans' interest beyond halftime. These games. The other thing, I don't want to belabor this, and we'll move off of this, but the thing where you said, you know, if they don't want to play Blake this year, you thought they would have brought in another veteran quarterback. That's the thing where I don't think they necessarily – I think they're willing to not play him this year, I guess is the best way to put it. And that, you know, Gus has sat here and told us both that, you know, when it comes to keeping 2-3 quarterbacks, will it be a veteran, will it be another rookie, will – The process will play out over the summer, and I think that's why it is Blake Bortles dependent. If Blake Bortles gives you enough to make you feel like we wouldn't want to do it, but if Henny went down, he's not gonna crap his pants. Mm-hmm. That they'll be okay letting a guy go and maybe keeping a young guy like Morris, who they feel has more upside, if they feel that way about him.
Sure, you look and just look at the schedule. Week 6, 7, and 8 is sort of the soft underbelly. At Tennessee, they stink. Home to Cleveland, probably Manziel by that point. Home to Miami.
Gonna be Manziel a lot sooner than that, I think.
Yeah, you know, those are games 6, 7, and 8. If you don't win one of those games, then you know, then this team isn't as bad again. It's really bad.
I would think the expectation is though. I mean, we'll get to that as we get closer to the season. But I think fans expect them to be a lot more competitive this year. I don't know how that manifests itself in the exact win total, but I would think. The typical fan out there, some of them are never going to be happy unless you're winning 12 games.
Sure.
But I think 6 to 7 wins would make a lot of people happy. So I think there are people that think that – I would say the majority of the fan base would have them somewhere around 6 wins this year. And as a modest improvement in the record – so, yeah, if they start off 0-6, they're in big trouble in that regard. But I think – there's a lot of hope that they won't necessarily start off that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for the first month of the season, they got 4 tough games, steal one of them, you know, which they didn't have the capability of doing last year. I mean, they needed everything to go right in a game and then some for them to win. So, you know, if you can get off to a little bit better start, and you know, 1-3, 2-4, something like that, then you can stick with that plan. And because they obviously feel that they're not going to be in such a toilet atmosphere where they're 0-7 and averaging 5 points a game.
All right, let's get another phone call in now. Another one of the areas, you mentioned 5 guys, and one of those was several players on the offensive line. Tom's got a question about the Jaguars' offensive line. Tom, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, good morning. I think maybe it's not the inability of Blake to play in the NFL at this point in his career. It's maybe they're rebuilding the offensive line, and they don't want to throw him in there until they're sure that offensive line is working properly.
I think that's a piece of the equation. Yeah, I think a lot more is dependent on Blake, though.
I mean, like, it's a piece of the puzzle. I mean, if he was by far the best quarterback, they'd say, okay, he's good enough right now to overcome that.
So, exactly. And he may turn out to be, ultimately.
I mean, let's say they would have gotten Alex Mack. Would that have sped up the process?
I think it probably would have. Yeah. Because now, as much as they've talked up Mike Brewster, now you feel like you've got, you know, your number 2 overall pick in Jokel. You've got your 2 high-priced free agents. That 3/5 of the line could be really good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do think that would have
been. You'll say,
he's making all the line calls as a veteran, all that kind of stuff.
And then Linder's going to be the guy at right guard.
You would think, yeah. You
know, I mean, they'll probably start working him a little bit more this week, but... So, just, you know, I agree with the caller's point. It is part of the equation.
All right, 641-1010 if you want to get on board. We've got this date in football history coming up. Oh, my goodness. Are we chock full of amazing details that happened over the course of football history? We may do a This Date in Football History with a look into the future.
Yeah, baby.
Coming up today. So that's coming up next. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today live from EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Oh, the long-awaited, much-anticipated This Date in Football History. Are you kidding me? Presented by the best fence company of Jacksonville.
The well is dry.
What you got? Other than, God love Matt Turk for being born today, but other than that, I thought we'd look ahead a year from now, and we'd look at this date in football history. F-U-T-B-O-L. Tony, on this date in football history, the United States men's national team played Ghana.
They did?
At 6 o'clock Eastern time a year ago today.
Yep.
And what happened, Tony?
Well, you know, they've been eliminated by this Ghana team in the last two World Cups, including in the knockout stages in the World Cup in South Africa in 2010. Tonight, one year from now, we will be looking back on a 2-1 victory for the United
2-1.
States.
2-1.
As they move through group play, but it starts tonight with a goal from Josie Altidore and a goal from Clint Dempsey on a set piece to get the 2-1 win over Ghana.
A little disappointed. I found out in the last week people were not wearing jerseys to honor me at the U.S.-Nigeria game. Really disappointed to find that out. Should not have looked into this whole soccer thing that much closer. 2-1 victory.
2-1.
Are we going to... We have to be creating events here for the
We're
going to
talk about Matt Turk. I don't know. Like, hopefully some stuff happens.
Are we basically leaning on birthdays here until camp starts?
Well, you never know. We get the occasional, you know, news about AFL-NFL merger type stuff.
Yep.
That pops up. And that leads to fantastic discussion offshoots, I find, Ryan. You know, I'll do my best to come up with something for you, though, over that time. All right? I don't know if I can create past history, though. I'll dig deeper. If you want, L.B. Stevens, do you remember L.B. Stevens with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No.
Neither do I. I'll just be frankly honest with you. Who is L.B. Stevens? But he's listed as a former Jacksonville Jaguar who's born on this date in 1969, Tony. So endeavor to find out.
So that would have made him, what, 26 if he was in camp for the first year?
Would that sound about right? Yeah. Something like that, yeah, sure. Absolutely, yeah. He would have been about 26 years old. Happy birthday to you, LB. This date in football history and football history, past, present, and future.
So I really thought you were saying happy birthday to me.
Is it your birthday, Brooksy?
No, but my nickname's LB.
Oh, LB. So stupid.
The blood just drained from Mike's face.
Like, what? How did I not know this? Why didn't you not text me? Text me. Do me a favor. Text me when it's your birthday, by the way. I know you probably
when
already
she,
told me
when she
your
turns
birthday
26.
Yeah. No, remember Carrie Underwood's coming for my birthday.
Oh, that's right. I knew there was something having to do
July,
with that. Now I get 26.
26.
Yeah,
see, it's the day before that, right?
Now it's locked
July
in.
July 25th.
Exactly. Okay. But, yeah, they're bringing her for me.
See? It's the day before that. Ryan.
Okay.
Got it.
Mental note.
LB Lauren Brooke Stevens was born on this date, July 25th. Best Fence Company brings you this date in football history. The mission, to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. Fencing is an investment in your home. You're going to feel protected. You'll breathe easier knowing Best Fence installed your new fence. They'll provide a professional free estimate at your convenience. So call them at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net. for more information.
July 25th is her birthday.
Yes,
so I just
is.
Sent myself an email saying July 23rd, order flowers and chocolates.
Oh, my gosh.
That's up to producer.
Whoa, that's for Blaylock. I don't eat chocolate.
Now, so you don't need chocolate.
I don't eat chocolate.
What do you want for your birthday now that every man in Jacksonville knows your birthday
is
July 25th?
I just want to see Carrie Underwood.
All right. Well,
soccer, of course, before.
Is that already in the plans?
Do you already have a ticket for that?
Not yet. I'm assuming that at some point I'll get it.
How about this?
Well, that's not a smoke
signal. If my wife does not want to use, because I have season tickets, and therefore I will get tickets to the Carrie Underwood concert.
Right.
And I will already be taking a few Saturdays off. I do my show on Sirius XM on Saturday nights. I'll be taking the two preceding Saturdays off for vacation. So I will not be going to the Carrie Underwood concert. So if my wife does not go to see Carrie Underwood, which I think there's a 3% chance of that happening, happy birthday, Lauren.
Why, thank you.
You can take the chocolates and flowers from Ryan and bring them to the Carrie Underwood concert.
This is a good day.
Provide you tickets to. I don't hear Tony piping up over there at home.
Well, I really want to kind of go to the soccer game, but I don't particularly care about seeing Carrie Underwood.
Maybe you'd like to squire Lauren Brooks to the to the game slash concert.
I'll carry the flowers and chocolates.
Or just the chocolates, please.
Maybe, Tony, you haven't seen Carrie Underwood's legs?
I have.
She's an attractive
woman. I'm not saying that she's unimpressive. I'm saying I'm not much of a country music fan.
Yeah, but you care to see her, right?
Sure.
You could see.
70 minutes on the big screen.
Yeah, you can see anything you want nowadays. Let's take a look at a few more guys, Ryan-O, that you had listed kind of on the roster bubble, fighting for roster spots, what have you. Let's finish up the thought on the offensive linemen that we were talking about last segment. Ultimately, it does come down to a numbers game, how many guys they're going to keep, 8, 9. What do you think? I mean, any way to really get inside Gus Bradley's head and guess what that number's going to be?
Well, I think it's going to be 8 or 9. I don't think it'll be 10, because I think they're going to keep an extra defensive lineman. And, you know, granted,
because they have so many good ones.
They want 4 and 4. They want 4 Leo. You know, they want a rotation of 8 guys and maybe keep an extra one. So maybe keep 10 D linemen, 8 old linemen, one or the other. So versatility is going to be the key for an old lineman making this team as a backup. But that position is so, I mean, you really are throwing darts at a board at this point on the offensive line, because there's no pads, no hitting, etc. But like last year at this time, who thought Cam Bradfield and Austin Pastor were in the plans?
Right.
So I'm sort of taking that approach is, okay, do one of these undrafted guys, is a Wells or a Shatley, does he emerge for one of those backup spots? Because you assume that Bowanko is going to be the backup center who can play a little guard. If McClendon doesn't start, do they feel good enough about him being a backup guard in case somebody else? So some of these guys, I mean, I think Bradfield's safe as a backup tackle. I think Bowanko's safe. So that leaves a lot of guys for one spot, and that guy better be able to play guard.
Yeah, well, at least play guard, mm-hmm. if not more than that. And, I think we all project Linder in the starting lineup. And the other four are pretty easy to figure out at this mm-hmm. point. In fact, I mean, look, I know they preach competition. I don't think there's really much in the way of competition for those four guys. I just don't think there are guys on the rod. Is there anybody that you think could, barring health issues cropping up in training camp, Austin Pastor, how locked into that right tackle spot is he?
I think if he's available, when camp starts, if he's full go, which he said he's going to be from the labrum surgery, I think he's most likely going to be the starter. I mean, they sort of talked about that the entire offseason, how they did a nice job with him last year. So I think, once you get Linder in place, I think all 5 guys are pretty set.
All right, let's take a look at a couple other guys you had on your rundown. Mike Harris, cornerback, the only corner on the roster not drafted or brought in by Dave Caldwell. Is that right?
Yep, yeah, and, Mike... I mean, Mike was on the chopping block last year, man, make the team, was their nickel guy to start the year. He sort of got phased out a little bit when they decided to try Will Blackman inside. The thing with Mike Harris is, okay, do they feel like a guy like Jeremy Harris, who didn't play last year but is a draft pick, do they feel he's further along? I think it's going to be a little bit of a tough road for Mike. But he's one of those guys, I think if he gets cut, he'll be picked up somewhere else. But 2 years here.
Which is a nice thing. It's a good problem to have when you're cutting guys that will have interest from other teams.
Which is what's happened already this offseason. Granted, it's 90-man rosters. But it's going to be interesting to see during camp is who do they feel comfortable playing inside. I mean, McCray's an outside guy. We really haven't seen Jeremy Harris playing a game. We haven't. So, okay, where do they want to put him? Does Will Blackman stay inside on third down, which he's been doing during these 2 open
right.
OTAs? So, I think at that position is where you really get into a numbers game where you probably are good enough to stay, but you're not going to.
Ball, Grotz, Blackman project to be your top 3 guys.
Yeah, I mean, probably how they'll line up tomorrow. Ball and Grotz. They are enamored with Demetrius McCray's skills. It's just, okay, is he going to translate it onto the, onto the preseason game field? Are they going to put him out there against ones in preseason games to see if he can be ready to play a role.
And then whose job is he coming for then in that regard?
My guess would be if let's say a hypothetical here. Let's say Demetrius McCray, they say he's an every down number two corner. Then I think Dwayne Gross becomes a very good nickel guy, which is still 75% of the snaps. I think Gross is going to be a decent player, but what it does, it just gives them options, because then if you play four corners on the field, can you play four corners? Is that means Blackman, Gross, Ball, McCray? Do they even try put McCray inside? Probably not. So I think they like Gross's potential.
Because of the way he's built?
Yeah, long,
yeah.
Lean. I think Gross is physical enough that if they move him inside, I think he can be around the ball in that spot some.
Interesting. So you think Ball is that entrenched, though, as the number one guy?
I think they like that veteran guy to get him through this year. I think he's a bridge guy. Let's see what he does after that. But, I don't know what the metrics or the analytics were on him last year, but it didn't seem like he was in position to make some plays.
Chris Przinski, the other guy that you put on there.
Fan favorite.
Yes, sure. Seems like I think he's perennially on the roster bubble. But, I mean, look, there are a lot of guys like that that make long careers in the National Football League. If we right now assume that Cyprian and Winston Guy earn the starting safety spots, which is, I think it's going to be tough to overcome Winston mm-hmm. Guy because he's going to have all that head start on a guy like Josh Evans. Who's in more danger? Is it Evans? Is it Przinski?
I'm going to say Evans because Przinski gives you a lot of value on special teams, tied for the team lead last year with tackles. And let's face it, he can run. He can get down the field. And so that would be a tight race. Both those guys can make the team if they keep four safeties. Does a guy like Craig Loston, undrafted guy, there's a reason he wasn't drafted. Does that count? Does he make his mark? So, I mean, I wouldn't count Przinski out right now, but it's obviously he'll be on the bubble because he was last year. So it's I wouldn't run him out of town just yet.
All right, if you want to get on board, 641-1010, the way to do it. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony. You can post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Easy enough to find it that way. And today's question of the day, which we ask you to reply to on social media, is the Tom Bush Family Dealerships always asking Jaguar fans, what drives you? We want to know today, if you didn't have Gus Bradley, which current coach would you want leading the Jacksonville Jaguars? We've gotten a lot of responses on this already and a lot of different responses, so you can feel free to weigh in on that as well. It's Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, back with more Jaguars Today live at EverBank next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. What is this one, Tony, that it fits in with our theme today? I don't know this one.
Is it by the All-American Rejects?
American Authors. Very close. That was
close.
Enough.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm giving you a point.
It's all-American theme today on Jaguars Today, courtesy of Lauren Brooks, who decided to go against her Ghanaian family roots and switch it up. Root for Team USA.
I hope that was on air.
It was not.
Was it not? You should leave your mic on all the time.
Should I?
My imitating Lauren Brooks' laugh. Cleaned off the mic.
Sometimes I can't help it.
Wipe down the microphones now. Who else has got Frangie's coming in here this week, right?
You know
he's going to want the window seat. So, this is the window seat. This is the window seat because then you can see. I wouldn't like to sit with my back to the new window.
Because you'll see people waving, you don't know who they're waving.
People are doing things. Are they doing something behind my back? Are they, doing the dreaded rabbit ears?
I'll make place cards.
What have you. Whatever. I'm just curious as to who gets to enjoy my spit-covered microphone over the next couple days. That's the point.
Sharing is caring.
That's got to be the big man, Frank.
Oh, I would think so. That's what I'm saying. This is kind of like the director's seat. You can see out the window. You can see which way the airplane is flying. If you're going to crash it into the wall. It is nice, though. We've got the wall of cheerleaders outside the studio. Could be worse. Could be like the wall of early 2000s Pro Bowlers or something like that.
Well, that's over there.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what Fortunato gets to
see. Just down the hallway from where we are. And we had to take down the Roar calendar that was in here so that we could get ready for the window. I hope that's going back up soon.
I would imagine that's going back up in short order. I was going to put it up this very second. 641-1010, we'll get back to your calls here momentarily. Tony Gwynn just got word that he passed away. The seven-time NL batting champ, I want to say?
Yeah.
Something like that. I know Rod Carew won seven in the AL. I think Ty Cobb had maybe 11 in the American League. But Tony Gwynn, I believe, a seven-time NL batting champ. Eight-time NL batting champion?
Eight.
We know he had cancer from chewing tobacco. Where did he coach? San Diego State, right?
Yes.
Where he went to, did he go to school there as well?
Yes.
I think he did, right? All right, so there you go. But, so sad news.
Played his whole career in San Diego. And, Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network just made a good point as well that, kids growing up in the San Diego, that area of the country here for the past 20 years or so, their heroes have probably been Junior Seau and Tony Gwynn. And they're both already gone.
Wow.
As young men.
That's a good point. Different circumstances, obviously.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn hit what in 1994?
388.
394. Highest since Ted Williams hit 406. 388, that was another Rod Carew back in 77. Back when I used to care about all the numbers in baseball like that. 641-1010, we're talking about coaches. We're going to get to some of your nominations. Who are the coaches, or who is the coach that would top your list if Gus Bradley wasn't in Jacksonville? Perish a thought. But if he wasn't, which NFL coach? This is kind of inspired by Chuck Knoll's passing. Certainly one of the greats. I don't know exactly where he places all the time. Don't you think most people would have Lombardi? I mean, the trophy's named for him. He won so many titles. Wouldn't Lombardi have to be at the top of the all-time coaching ranks?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest case could be made for him.
Shula, in the conversation, I mean, on pure longevity wins and all that stuff.
I mean, if you're looking at top 10, I put a guy that I covered. I put Joe up there with three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. Joe Gibbs, obviously.
Joe. Me. I call him Joe.
I call him Joe.
I'll give you a...
JG.
I call...
With three different quarterbacks.
I call one guy coach in my life, like my media career, that's John Thompson. So everybody,
was he intimidating to you?
Well, he's just like 7 feet.
He's 6'10", I believe. Yeah,
great guy for me, but... It's funny when I talked to Gibbs a couple of years ago at NASCAR down in Daytona, they all call him Coach down there. I'm like, I said, Joe, you're retired. So I call him Joe. But
all right,
digressing. I would put Walsh up there. I would put Lombardi up there. I put Knoll up there. I put Shula up there for longevity. I put Gibbs up there for anybody with more than two deserves a spot.
Weeb Eubank. What else have the Jets
had? The guarantee.
That's all I got going for me. All right, let's go. 641-1010. Let's get a call or two in, and we'll start with Robert next up here on Jaguars Today. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hey, afternoon, gentlemen. Prayers go out to the Gwynn family and the kids looked up to him and Junior Seau. That's a shame. I just want to suggest Bill Parcells. I think man's got a great eye for talent. Handle young men and grown men very well. I just think he's a great coach. I think he'd be great for y'all with the media. We know how well he handles the media. So
he does do
I'll put out Bill Parcells.
All right, thank you, Robert. Parcells, for the longest time, and may have continued that streak all throughout his coaching career, when he took over a new team, had him in the playoffs by year two.
Mm-hmm.
I think every time, including with the Miami Dolphins when they completely remade it with Chad Pennington and company coming in and got them quickly up to a 10-win season from being one of the worst teams in the league.
I think they went from 1-15 to...
To 10 wins in like 2 years. Yeah. I think you're right.
And he drafted Chad Henne.
Yes, he did. And he fit the Parcells profile. Parcells had that list of all the criteria, started X amount of games in college.
Fifth-year senior.
All these things that Henne fit better than... probably most quarterbacks that have come out in the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm. Parcells is interesting because, and that's the big thing. I mean, he was the builder. Look at New England when he joined there. Terrible. You know, he got Dallas to the playoffs. The Jets were 1-15 before he got there. So that, he's in the Hall of Fame and justifiably so.
Yeah, he was a builder, but later, the later he got into his career, the less staying power he seemed to have. Like, he enjoyed the process of coming in, putting his stamp on an organization. It just seemed like it kind of fizzled out quicker the later he got into his career.
I remember, I think it was the 07 season, maybe earlier than that. Late in the year, the Redskins were playing the Cowboys, and he did the conference call, and somebody asked him, Billy, hey, you had a quote a couple weeks ago where the winning isn't as fun and the losing hurts more. Why are you still doing this? And Parcells goes, that's a very astute observation. And a month later, he retired. So,
yeah. I mean, like, hey, you know what? That's you're right. You're dead on. I'm out of here. I'm done.
So,
is it, how much is it, in your opinion, having covered Joe?
Never going to live
Gibbsy.
That one.
No, no. Gibbsy is what we call
Joe
him.
Jackson.
is it becoming more so than ever a young man's game to get into it?
I think so. Young being
40-something, you know, or anything. I mean, really, you see a lot. Mike Tomlin's 42 years old. He won two Super Bowls.
They wouldn't won.
That's right. He's been to two Super Bowls.
He's
won one.
I mean, to your point, I think Coughlin is an outlier, being late 60s. Mid-60s?
Late 60s, I would say, yeah.
I mean, he is. I think that's going to become.
Holds more, Belichick.
Well, he's been in the league since 76, so he's got to be near 60.
Yeah, pushing it at least.
Yeah. I think
62.
You're gonna,
Belichick is?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're going to see a lot more guys go the way of Cowher, Dungy, and, you know.
Like have a 10 or 15-year career and be done?
Yeah, and say, hey, I've made my millions, I'm just going to go make 50% of that doing 10% of the work.
And that's the thing with these coaches, is their contracts are guaranteed. So, and today, a five-year, $5 million per year contract is not exorbitant at all. Mm-hmm. For, you know, that's not top coach money anymore. $25 million, you figure most of those guys are at a point in their life. You know, you and I were talking about a little bit earlier off the air. Vernon Davis did Monday Morning Quarterback today. He said, the biggest problem he sees in NFL locker rooms is what he deems terms financial literacy. In other words, guys just don't know how to manage your money. We've seen so many stories of these players in the National Football League that come in no matter how much they make. He even said, doesn't matter. Some guys, you can pay them 10 times what they're making, they're still going to run out of money. They're just wired that way. Most coaches are at a later point in their life. You know, you can come in, you go at it hard for 10 years. If you reach near the top of your profession, I mean, you are done, buddy. You're set for life. It's not like you're a player who's 35 years old now. Now you're probably 55 years old, you know, much closer to a normal retirement age. You go work in broadcasting for 10 years, and you're set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, I still think Gruden's going to come back and coach. Yeah, but he was fired by.
Is he going to come back and coach, or is Gruden coming back to coach like the NFL dangling Los Angeles out there? Like Gruden dangles the prospect of coming back to the league, and ESPN gives him another zero on the end of his paycheck.
I think eventually he'll just get. I think he's young enough where he's going to say at some point, I got to go back now, or else I'll never go back.
Right.
And I don't. And when I'm 65, I don't want to say I should have given it another
but
shot.
But Gruden's only going back, don't you think? I mean, because he is right now. He's so entrenched, right? I mean, they love him, I think, right? The popular, at least, I don't know what the numbers are, but the anecdotal evidence suggests people love Gruden on Monday Night Football. I think he's entertaining. I don't agree with everything he says, and some of you know sometimes.
Well, everybody's great.
True, yeah. And I get it. That's his shtick, but I just think he's entertaining. I like to listen to him. I enjoy hearing him talk about football.
Yeah, you mean he's more of an entertainer than a X and O guy.
Absolutely, and that's fine. I mean, I just don't want to tune into a game and have a guy detract from the game for me. And some announcers are so bad that they do. And if they don't, I typically am kind of neutral on a lot of guys. As long as you're just, you know, I know what's going on. I can see what's happening on the field. I think he's entertaining. I just like listening to him talk. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's the voice. I don't know.
I mean, if he would have come back right away, there was a pretty good chance he was going to become the first $10 million a year coach.
Right, and he still may at some point. That may be what it takes to pry him away.
I mean, I think that's where Dallas comes in.
Well, that's the thing, right? If Jason Garrett, who seems to have an infinite amount of goodwill built up with Jerry Jones, let's say he goes two more years. It would take a team, though, don't you think, that has all the pieces in place for John Gruden? I mean, why if you're John Gruden, I mean, why would you jump in on a rebuilding kind of project?
I mean, the window for him going to Dallas is closing as Tony Romo continues to have back surgeries.
Exactly. Unless something else comes along that hasn't presented itself yet.
And with Gruden, I mean, he likes the water, so that eliminates 20 teams.
Right.
Yeah, you know, maybe 25 teams. So you look at the situation.
Is he's a big boating guy, or what is he?
Like, he does, you know, he's in the... You know, south. I was gonna say south of the equator, but that's not right. South of the Mason-Dixon line. Maybe he's a warm weather guy.
A warm weather guy. All right. I don't know about liking the water. I know Jimmy Johnson likes the water.
Jimmy Johnson likes the water.
You agree with that? I mean, you've talked to Joe about this probably. Financial literacy.
Well, that's one of the reasons why he came back.
Is financial literacy.
He's made it well known. He got his clock cleaned on a real estate
deal. Bad deals, yeah.
So he came and he came back for $30 million. But the part where the Vernon Davis that surprised me is that he has guys come to him with asking for money for loans.
He even said veterans on second contracts, like guys you think, all right, once you hit that second contract, you're getting into that more life-changing kind of money where you can really build a future based on what you're earning right then.
I mean, that shows you guys, A, have no shame, B, are desperate, C, are getting no advice or not listening to it.
All of the above.
And the biggest problem is are these guys being educated? And my thoughts on the PA are well documented. When they have this rookie, when the league symposium, and you're talking to every draft pick about financial, they should be taught. That's why you hire an agent who should tell you, okay, if you have a $500,000 signing bonus as a rookie, 40% of that's gone before you even get on the field because of taxes.
Right.
And then, okay, then you got to, you know, put X amount away, invest it, so that's never going away. And then in terms of, then you got to find out where you're going to live.
Vernon Davis said, it's not enough to gather rookies in June, tell them how to not go broke or to offer an off-season financial seminar at a college are great steps, but if they really want to save young players from themselves, the NFL this is, they have to make it mandatory, send a college professor to every NFL team, require all players to attend business seminars during training camp.
That's a PA's job.
Exactly. It's not the league's job, right? But even under those circumstances, to me, you're either inclined to listen to it or you're not, right? And in the middle of training camp, imagine you're a rookie in training camp and you're trying to digest everything that's being thrown at you and they're sending you these financial seminars, which is nap time, I think, for a lot of these guys.
If you want to make a commitment to that, let's say I'm a team president for a team and I want to teach my guys, give them a seminar in financial deal, I'd do it in the spring. You know, as soon as you get here, get your feet settled, then starting in May and June, you're going to have some.
Have a week-long deal
tutorials.
Or whatever,
It's not going to be 3-4 hours a session because then you lose them a little bit each day. And what you do is, hey, you open the doors and say, if you got any questions, let us know. And, you know, who knows? They won't go going back. But all it falls on the agent is you're getting a percent of these guys. Teach them how to manage their money.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think there's an open door now. I think the information is out there if you want to seek it. You know what I mean? I think smart guys are coming to the league. Like, Russell Wilson doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to be going broke. You know what I mean? He's just a smart, mature guy. He comes into the league, probably going to take good advice, learn how to handle his money. He's not making the big money yet. And he just doesn't strike me as one of these guys. Now, I guess that's...
Say no.
You got to be able to say no to a lot of people, absolutely. But my point being, you could have all these, you know, hey, this is available. I think the gesture you made a minute ago that people can see in one ear, out the other is probably applicable. And that's probably applicable to a lot of guys who are 22 years old, regardless of what line of work you're going into. And you get that kind of money thrown at you. As Vernon Davis himself said, my rookie year, I was in the club every weekend. Mm-hmm. That's just how I thought it was. You know, you're like a kid who finally can make all his dreams come true because now you have the money that you never thought you'd have.
And he was getting sent off from the sideline.
Right. And he got his act turned around. But not everybody's as talented as him. Mm-hmm. And is going to, you know, a lot of guys less talented than that are going to wear their welcome out in 3 or 4 years and will miss out on that shot.
The leash is longer.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. 6-4-1-10-10. Final segment coming up. We'll take a look at some of your nominations for guys, if it weren't for Gus Bradley here in Jacksonville, which current NFL coach would you most like to see lead your Jacksonville Jaguars? Tweet at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL. Fat Tony will get some of your suggestions coming up here momentarily on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. What are you laughing at now?
I know that song.
Yeah. Do you? What is this?
Well,
sounds like Love Shack. What is this?
No.
It does. I'm sorry. It sounds like Love Shack to me.
Escape right. Club.
Skia.
What is it?
You I knew it was going to escape it. You.
Well, I recognize it.
What's the name of the song?
I don't know.
What's the name of the song, Lauren?
Wild Wild West.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Wild Wild West. You had me confused because I thought we were going with the American theme.
Well, we are.
You went with the Wild West, the Guns of Gold. I suppose. I don't know.
Nobody
if this
else
song
had
is the
Old West
piece of Americana that's ever come.
The
along.
West is a piece of Americana.
Fine.
We like our sponsors.
The Wild Wild West is if one of these guys in the World Cup scores an own goal back in his country.
Oh, then it's extradition. That's
execution.
It's execution if they make it back home. Colombia, that happened with, right?
Bosnia had one yesterday, too, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Own goal.
An own goal.
Yes.
I thought you said that the goalie was murdered.
No.
I thought that's what you're talking about.
We were
about.
Talking about own goals.
No, the Colombian goalie, who the U.S. beat 2-0 back in, like, 94, went home and somebody assassinated him in the street, didn't they?
Was it the goalie?
Defender.
I thought it was a defender. It was the defender on the own goal.
Yeah.
That, was found dead.
I'll take you soccer.
They did a 30 for 30 about it, the two Escobars, because Pablo Escobar was a big backer of that Colombian team, and they had, like, the players, when they left the hotel that morning, were basically told that their families were being held, depending on the outcome.
Go
out
and play
game.
Well.
Yeah. How are you supposed to play? And they lost that game, and the own goal happened, and
so now they just don't tell them that their families are being held.
Probably not.
Right? They get to find
probably
that out.
Probably not.
That's a little result dependent. They get to find out later on. It is a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Ryan goes, I know this one. He has no idea. Can't name the artist or the song. But I got this.
I was going Wild Wild West until I was thinking, okay, it's America theme. Lauren threw a curveball.
But it did. Anyway, moving on. Moving on, for everyone's benefit, including my own. Let's get a phone call or two, and then we'll get to the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight for today. Let's get Greg up next here on 1010XL. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Pretty good, guys. How are you doing?
Great.
I would like to see Charlie Strong in that position. I think he'd be a rah-rah kind of guy and in your face, and not to mention he's built like half the linebackers you got already.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, I don't want a guy. I mean, Gus didn't have any head coaching experience, obviously, in the National Football League. But Charlie Strong, does he have any National Football League experience whatsoever?
I don't think so.
You don't see too many of those college to pro transitions anymore. Not that it can't happen. You saw Jim Harbaugh certainly made the transition.
You know, Chip Kelly. For every Chip Kelly and Jim Harbaugh, there's a Greg Schiano.
Al Groh.
Yeah. Al. He was a disaster in the Jets for a year.
Or as Ryan calls him.
Al.
Al.
Albert.
Albert.
Al.
Alphonse.
Al thought he was Parcells.
I don't know.
That would be beyond, that would be way outside the box, but I think Charlie Strong looks like one of those guys who's built to be a career college head coach.
He does look that way, right? But I think if you saw Gus Bradley as a college coach, you'd probably feel the same way about him, don't you?
I mean, I've kidded around with him about this, is if he walked in, I mean, and he did this when he was in college, you talk about a closer in recruiting.
Unbelievable, right?
He's walking the living room.
And he's doing it now with free agents. So, you know, he's doing it with grown men that are a little bit more jaded as far as that goes. All right, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight asking you daily what drives you. Well, today we asked you, with Chuck Noll passing away, we're thinking about coaches today. If Gus Bradley were not your coach here in Jacksonville, which current NFL head coach would you like leading the Jags? Tony, some of the Twitter responses were what?
I'm a little bit surprised by the responses that we've gotten.
I am too.
Because there's
you.
A guy that's name. I didn't see his name, at least on Twitter, that I'm shocked.
Belichick.
Yeah.
I didn't get it on Facebook either.
I don't get that.
And that may be some anti-Belichick sentiment. Maybe they feel like he's an older guy.
Sure.
Maybe, you know, look, if you're a fan, you know, there are probably anti-Patriot fans because of Spygate or whatever reason. You know, I don't think it's, you know, as big as anti, say, Cowboy or Steeler fans. But, you know, there may be some of that. And maybe just people just look at Gus and they see a young, energetic guy and they want a guy that they can envision being here for a long time. I think that's
sure.
Probably it as much as anything. So what did we get?
We got from Paolo, we got John Harbaugh. Hashtag Jaguars today from Eric. If I couldn't have the Gus bus, I'd want Sean Payton. Give me that offense. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag RIP Chuck Knoll from Jason. Sean Payton, for once, I would love to see a high-flying offense in Jacksonville, but Gus is definitely the man. Hashtag Jaguars today from Meta World Bortles. We have Chip Kelly. Hashtag Jaguars today.
That always makes me laugh.
That may be worth one a t-shirt on its
own. So a lot of offense to this point from Zambrano. We have John Harbaugh. I like a coach whose players enjoy playing for him. Plus, Ravens have always been contenders with him. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Richard Cranium, we got give me Greg Popovich. Maybe he would let coaches coach and then just lead men. Hashtag I know it's dumb. Hashtag Jaguars today.
What would you write about? I mean, what would you and Greg have to talk about?
Well, I got some heat last night because I called Popovich an idiot until the end. I don't like bullies, and that's how he handles the media. It wouldn't work in the NFL.
I agree with you. He does get away with it, but has it almost become like a shtick?
And that's the problem, is that the networks are aiding and abetting him.
Right.
Five-word answer. Well, you're not asking the questions. You're not being put in that position. So I always relate to the reporter asking the questions. I don't like him.
All right, fair enough.
And, you know, everybody says, well, he's this great basketball.
Fans would love him if he brought him five rings.
No doubt. No doubt. But I agree with you. I think it would be awful to try to go to a press conference with Greg Popovich.
Oh,
I mean,
from our standpoint.
I mean,
but,
my strategy would be I'm just going to try and alienate him from day one as much as possible because I have nothing to lose.
You know, the thing is, too, people say, oh, I don't care if my coach talks to the fan base or not. But they love Gus Bradley. Why do they love him? Because he's so open and he's got a great personality, right? I mean, look, if your team's going 13-3 every year, you don't really care what it's taken to get there if you're a fan. I don't think it matters to you that much. But if you're not going to go 13-3 every year, not many coaches are going to, you know, not many mm-hmm. coaches are going to be Belichick and dominate the division for a decade plus. You better have something that endears you to the fan base, I would think.
Last, we have Dr. G, who says he'll pander to me at 1010XL Fat Tony. James Franklin, good leader, great coach. Hashtag anchor down, hashtag Jaguars today. That would be nice. If he wasn't dead to me!
I was going to say, what do you care now?
Jumping ship to go to Penn State.
He's got a bunch of bunch of his Nittany Lions here, Tony, that he could come coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars. On Facebook today, we got David Staples saying, John Fox took two different teams to the Super Bowl. Did not expect Fox to get one vote to Belichick's none today.
I think that's a decent choice because of his tracker getting... He's best with a veteran team, and I was out there for a couple of days last year, and when the Broncos were stretching, Fox was on his cell phone. You know, he lets his guys coach, and, you know, veterans sort of police the locker room. But I want to go a little bit off the grid. I think Bruce Arians would be fascinating to cover because he's a very good offensive mind, and he has no filter either, and the players responded to him in Arizona as a head coach. A little older guy, but it seemed like he would be a good guy to have around.
If you could have one, both of the Harbaughs have mentioned, Chip Kelly would be fun because of his style of play. I think Mike Tomlin, to me, is the guy. He's young. You can see him being around for 15 years, whatever the case. He's clearly won. He's got the respect of his guys. He will throw out some good quotes from time to time. He'll call it like he sees it. I don't know. I think he's, if you're looking for a guy, right now, probably Belichick, you know, other than the fact that people don't like him, I think you got to acknowledge Belichick is probably the best coach in the league. You can make an argument for Tom Coughlin. There's a couple of guys you can make an argument for, and I'm surprised we didn't get more Coughlin. People saying, let's bring back Tommy.
We got one or two, and apparently Pittsburgh is the only place where the you don't want to be the guy to follow the guy rule doesn't apply.
No.
Because their last three have been just studs.
And that's all they practically had, right? Yeah. I mean, have they had three in their history, the Steelers? Chuck Holcower, Tom.
Well, since, you know, those have been the last three.
One of these, one of that, I mean, franchise goes way back. That's right. They had this, the whole Steagles thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
That they did when they joined forces with the Eagles.
But since 1971 or whatever, when Noel came on, they've had three coaches in 40 years.
Right. Almost 45 mm-hmm. years. So, yeah, that's
that
pretty
would be nice.
That's a pretty good place to go as far as job security goes. And Cower left on his own. Got a couple of Sean Paytons in here as well. Did get one Tom Coughlin. So a sampling, but no Bill Belichick's. And we thought initially when we put that up, we're like, well, Belichick probably run away with this. Maybe we'll get a couple of Coughlins. Probably, I would say Jim Harbaugh probably got the most votes with Pete Carroll. Probably
Jim
coming
got a
in
lot.
Second.
Sean Payton got a lot.
Which just goes to show you, though, what's hot at the moment is what's hot. You know what I mean? That's what people like. You know, Pete Carroll, is he the second best? David Steele did a story on the Sporting News and put Belichick at number one, put Pete Carroll at number two. Is he the second best coach in the league? I don't know. I'd probably give the nod to Coughlin on resume and the fact that he's been able to beat Belichick a couple of times head-to-head and go to four championship games, two here, obviously two at the Giants where he went on to win the Super Bowl. But regardless, conversation that can continue on the Facebook page if you want.
In two Super Bowls in which he beat arguably one of the best coaches of all
time. Right, that's what I'm saying. He's gotten the best of Belichick head-to-head in those matchups. So, you know, you can argue who had the better roster, whatever the case. I know one of those years the Patriots hadn't lost to anybody until the Super Bowl. So, all right, we got to wrap it up today. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. Appreciate those guys. Thanks to Ryan O'Halloran. We'll be out on the practice field tomorrow with the Jags. 1:10. It's open to the media. 1:10 to 3:30 each of the next 2 days, and then a third day of minicamp on Thursday, which will not be open to the media. So we hope to see a bunch of you out there tomorrow. Tomorrow, Johnny O, John Osher, joins us, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. For Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.